It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Oh, God. Let me talk to you. I swear to God, going into tonight's sit-down episode, I said, I hope I'm not asked about the L.A. Knight situation. And literally before we go live, the first super chat that comes in, Don Tony, have you seen the leaked photos of L.A. Knight? If so, your thoughts? Oh, boy. 18 and over. No, we're not going to show the pictures here. Even if we were allowed to, I wouldn't show the pictures here. Good evening, everyone. It is time for the sit-down for March 19th, 2023. We are less than 2 weeks away from WrestleMania. We are less than 2 weeks away from my birthday. We are less than 3 weeks away from my vacation. Unfortunately, we are less than 3 minutes away talking about nudes. Nudes, yeah. For those that are newer to the sit-down episodes, let me just explain briefly the format. Tonight, I show up literally with no notes, no papers, nothing. And the entire show is based on your questions, your comments, your topics. Could be wrestling, non-wrestling, whatever is on your mind. The only requirements, you have to be in the chat room. Because I'm not a mind reader. And before your question, you type the letter, your capital word question, so I get spotted quicker. If you have a comment you just want me to share with everyone, you just write comment before your comment. Super chats are never required, but they are appreciated. They definitely help keep this channel alive and grow, and will always get VIP treatment. So that is why on the screen, and I'm looking at another one that came in right after it. That's not any better. That's not any better. The fucking Garcia twins. Oh, God, it's going to be one of these. All right. All right. My friends, welcome. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let me talk to you. All right. For those that don't know, nudes, or at least one, well, more than one, but one photo in particular everybody is focused on. Nudes have surfaced of L.A. Knight. It looks like in a hotel room, in the bathroom, decides to do a full frontal selfie, no clothes on, no towels. You know, at least the Randy Orton selfie from back in the day, he had a towel, you know, covering his area. You know, hey, you want the toy surprise? You're going to have to open the Cracker Jack box yourself. No, you don't get to see the surprise before in advance. You open the box and there's your surprise. Listen, you know, this is how I feel about it. And this is how I have felt about other nudes that have surfaced in the past with wrestlers, male and female. First of all, you know, they're private. So it's like, it's a subject that, you know, I wish I could avoid bringing up. And, you know, you say, oh, out of privacy, out of respect, you know, we're not going to talk about it, but you know, unfortunately, it is a major story and it's a public personality. So, you know, you really got to talk about it. My second thing is this, and I got to be honest with you. Maybe because I'm fat, maybe because I'm old. But even when I was in my cybergenics days and, you know, my weight was, you know, lower than the hotel room from The Shining, room 237. Don't ask me why I even thought of that. I never in a million years ever like thought about going into the bathroom and snapping a photo. Am I proud of my package? You know, I would say it's average, but it's not how it looks. It's how you use it. I just don't understand. I don't understand why so many people out there, especially, you know, public people, still have this need to, you know, post nudes of themselves and send it to someone. You know, I mean, especially in this day and age, you know, it's not like you have to travel by bus or hitchhike. You know, if you have someone that you're involved, if you miss them and everything, you know, if you've been involved before, I just don't understand why they still take the photos. Now, look, the photo does not look very old. I mean, you've seen older pictures of L.A. Knight, and L.A. Knight has always been in spectacular shape. But, you know, you could tell that this is not that long ago. I just think to myself, if you're going to take nudes of yourself in the profession that you're in, you definitely have to think to yourself, what's going to happen if it leaks out? You know, was his phone hacked? You know, I'll say it like this, man. I'll say it like this. Where's all the other photos that were in the phone? You know what I mean? I mean, I know I saw some photos of him posing with Becky Lynch many years ago, and they're just friends, no romantic. You know, I don't even want to, you know, insinuate that. But where's all the other pictures? I mean, if somebody hacked into the phone, you know, I would think that we probably would find, like, you know, it interesting to see everything. Like, we don't just need to see, you know, the nudie. It just seems like no other information ever gets exposed. I always feel like it's, you know, it's someone that maybe he had a bad relationship with, and maybe out of spite they post it. Maybe someone else, you know, didn't take the security measures that L.A. Knight did. Maybe L.A. Knight's phone wasn't hacked. Maybe it was someone else that he sent the photo to. I just think you're asking for trouble by taking a picture of yourself and sending it to someone. You know, if it's your wife or your husband, you know, all right, that's a little bit different. But it, just a casual relationship, you know, a little fling, you know, dating, you know, you don't know what your future is going to be. You don't know what your future is going to be, if it's going to be with that person or without, especially if you send it to someone that you're just looking for company, companionship. You're asking for trouble. That's my honest opinion. You're asking for trouble. So I feel bad for him that it leaked out. Now, what are my thoughts as far as the photo itself? I mean, I don't have any thoughts. Like, was I impressed by what I saw? No. I mean, you know, it's, I don't know. It just, it is what it is. I think he made a mistake. I think he made a mistake. And I have a feeling that he wasn't hacked, that the recipient was hacked. Or the recipient put it out there to be spiteful. You know, I don't know. I don't know. But Ronnie, that's my honest thoughts on it. Ronnie again. Okay, DT, I have one more for you. What are my thoughts on the Bellas gone from WWE and now calling themselves the Garcia Twins? Good riddance. Nothing personal against them. But I will tell you this, and I'm 100% certain of it, because some people that I have talked to, you know, have mentioned this, and I trust them to be accurate, correct. I don't go for them for scoops, but if I'm curious about certain things, I will ask. Nikki Bella pretty much sealed the Bella's fate with the WWE by going on Tamron Hall, by telling the world that in 2023 that the women's evolution in wrestling should not be going backwards. This, let me tell you something. This will never be reported from other sites, but Nikki Bella pissed off a lot of women in WWE. She pissed off a lot of women. I'm sorry. Nobody wants to admit that, but she did. I know firsthand, you know, she pissed off women in WWE. Don't speak for us. You're not there every single day. And WWE just cut their ties. They cut their ties. WWE was like, look, you know, it's better you go your separate ways. Them walking out the door, you know, the video of them walking out the door and a new door opening up. Good. You listen, I don't wish any ill will on the Bellas, the Garcias at all. I don't wish any ill will. You know, I have always said that Nikki Bella is extremely desperate for media attention. It's going to be really interesting 10 years from now. to see if she turns into, you know, the real dumpster fires of California. You know, I hope it doesn't happen because I don't watch those shows. Like, some people think that I'm hoping Nikki Bella turns into a massive dumpster fire so I can enjoy it. I don't watch those shows. I'm not interested in dumpster fires. You know, when I had Misha Montana on, Matt Riddle's girlfriend, and I started getting flocked with emails and DMs and, messages from all these dumpster fires, leaving me their cell phone, trying to ask me to bring them on. I'm like, just leave me the fuck alone. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in your drama. Save the drama for someone's mama. So I don't wish any ill will on the Bellas. But I will say this, the notion that they left WWE to pursue other entities is a lie. It's a lie. WWE does not see value in the Bellas like they used to. And Nikki Bella immediately going on social media and fucking Tamron Hall. That doesn't help you. It didn't help. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And they're using the Garcia name because WWE will sue them in a heartbeat. You're not allowed to use the Bellas. That's it. No, that's it. So Nikki and Brie, and look, I don't blame them. I'm going to make it clear. I don't blame them. But they're going to give this perception that they're victims here, that WWE, forced them out, that WWE won't let them use this or won't let them do that. Or they may turn around and say, we decided to leave. We decided to do this. No, she wasn't getting the attention that she expected to get. She expected the red carpet to be thrown out at Raw 30 for them. And they were going to just be extras during the polka segments. And they didn't like it very much. And Nikki, her clock is ticking. So good riddance. If they show up in AEW, whatever. Whatever. We've had that conversation about AEW already. So there's no reason to rehash it here again. But good luck to them. Good riddance. Good riddance. That's it. That's it. All right. Let's head on over to the chat. And let's answer some questions here. I think Tuxedo Earth sent something earlier. When do I think WWE will divide the Universal and WWE Heavyweight Championships? There's some thoughts of SummerSlam. I wonder if it happens in Saudi Arabia. I'm not saying that it will. But, with Saudi Arabia, $10 million deals, per show, there's always something major going down. Now, the only reason why I say no is because it's the king and the queen in the ring theme. So I would think that winners would get opportunities for championship matches. But I will tell you how I expect it to be split. These reports that it's going to be split because of a draft, send me whatever you're smoking. Send me whatever you're smoking. Just like all this bullshit about Charlotte and Rhea Ripley closing out night one of WrestleMania. Did you hear today? Usos, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, a hug. 10 million views on social media. 10 million views. They get a main event night one for political reasons. Political, my ass, my anus. All that clickbait that people are forcing right now, people just trying to start a conversation. Look, they put something nonsense out there and then they'll dispel it. And then they'll say, oh, I was right. Why even give it any merit in the first place? But in my opinion, Cody Rhodes will be a fighting champion. Cody Rhodes, I think, may defend each title separately in the same night, and someone may, due to interference, will cost him one of those championships. We don't know who. We don't know when. You got to understand something. Storylines need to progress in order for things to happen. People were trying to convince you to bet on Sami Zayn winning the Royal Rumble and getting a championship match at WrestleMania, because they felt that in their heart. That's what they wanted, but it wasn't real. And a lot of people actually bet on that because they felt it too. And they, because someone else has a blue check mark or has news in their name, they believed it. My point is that in order for Sami Zayn to even be considered, other things need to fall into place. And as I said all along, that was never going to happen because what does that do to Kevin Owens? Kevin Owens in this storyline looks ridiculous. And the only out that people kept saying is, well, Kevin Owens could turn on Sami Zayn and he could be the heel this time. And I'm like, oh, God, why? Why? Just to, you know, convince yourself that Sami should be heavyweight champion right now? I think Cody will end up defending both championships and that he'll lose one of the two. I think that's how it'll go down, to be honest with you. Sami could end up becoming a champion. Seth Rollins could be end up becoming a champion. Fucking Roman Reigns could end up getting one of those belts. But you don't know. You don't know. You got to let storylines progress before you believe what's next. Look, you heard all the buzz at WrestleMania. Oh, it was going to be Dakota Kai and Io Sky versus Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler for the tag titles. That was never considered. Having Trish and Lita at WrestleMania was always considered. And they held off Trish for a couple of extra weeks. That's why she didn't show up until the title change happened on Raw. And that was that tag title match was never considered for WrestleMania. So you look back on it and you see how do things go into play when you don't even know like what transpires next. So you got to wait for storylines to happen. So. Okay, Gruss, Sami and Kevin are not WWE's version of Popeye and Bluto because I don't remember Popeye and Bluto ever sitting down and saying, hey, Bluto, let's eat dinner. Let's go to the movies together. Go, 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 go. They were always foes. They were never brothers. I don't remember them ever arguing. Hey, Bluto, you want olive? Oh, go, 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 go. I just felt like doing a Popeye impersonation. Hey, he brought up Popeye, so blame it on him. All right, Rocky Red wants to share a comment. Sami Zayn, Jey Uso, Roman have been remarkable in the Bloodline story. But who do I give credit for most who's under the radar? Paul Heyman, unsung hero. Pay attention to his facial expressions. Listen, I agree with you. Everybody gets their credit. I think Jimmy Uso probably gets the least amount of credit. And if it wasn't for Jimmy Uso for standing by, in storyline, standing by Sami when Jay wouldn't, and then the reverse happened. Jimmy Uso is an unsung hero. Paul Heyman is an unsung hero. You know, Tribal Chief did his job. Everybody did good with this. And, you know, whether Vince was still in charge or Triple H is in charge, you know, Triple H gave, you know, Sami a little bit more airtime and Sami took it and ran with it. But, you know, the end result was always the same thing. Sami and Kevin Owens versus the Usos, we've been talking about that since the summer of last year, before Vince stepped aside in creative. So, but yeah, I'm with you, man. Paul Heyman, you know, he is doing his greatest right now. Listen, I loved his Paulie Dangerously stuff. I loved the WCW. I loved the ECW. I loved 21 years ago when he became Brock's manager. The Alliance, to a certain extent, did. I can't say nothing bad about Paul Heyman other than his financial capabilities. But he definitely deserves a boatload of credit. You know why I appreciate Paul Heyman right now? Maybe more than anybody else in this storyline. Do you know why? Because, honestly, I mean, I had the privilege of meeting him a few times. I had the privilege of working in a very tiny capacity selling tickets for ECW in the last year of their existence. All right? Trust me, I have nothing but love for Paul Heyman, but the reason why I appreciate him right now, maybe more than the other guys, is because if you would have said to me even 10 years ago that Paul Heyman would still be doing this at this capacity, I would have said, you're nuts. I always felt Paul Heyman was going to leave wrestling, move on into the entertainment business, and be done with pro wrestling. I never in a million years ever thought Paul Heyman would still be doing what he's doing in wrestling in 2023. And 5 years from now, that might be different. For whatever reasons you want to come up with, I absolutely love what he's doing. Love it. Theme Parks with Johnny. Shout out to you, my friend. Thank you for the dime. DT, I've been seeing some reports of WWE unhappy with people coming up to wrestlers for autographs. I'm assuming airports and hotels. What's my opinion on the topic? If you go to my Twitter, at DonTonyD, I made a little remark about this earlier today. I had this discussion a month ago about Rey Mysterio. And, you know, I wrote on Twitter earlier today, it's a shame that everybody's going to be talking about this now, not because of a particular specific incident that happened this weekend. It's because PW Insider just basically got their name out there again. PW Insider reports that WWE is not happy with wrestlers signing all these things. They have been unhappy for quite some time. And this report that, oh, WWE feels that people are recording things to put wrestlers in a bad light, this is nothing new. This is just PW Insider trying to get a little bit of news attention. I'm not criticizing PW Insider. I'm really not. But that's the only reason why you're commenting now. You didn't do anything wrong. And it's definitely a topic of discussion. I will repeat here what I said about Rey Mysterio a month ago. You know, for decades, fans have always come up to wrestlers wanting pictures, wanting autographs. And unfortunately, sometimes people will show up with 10, with 5. They happen to have like all these different things, and the wrestlers aren't stupid. They know that, you know, those people aren't there because, oh, you know, look at me. Look at me. I mean, this is a bad example. And honestly, I swear to God, I had no idea Johnny was going to bring this up, but I'll give you an example, okay? Here. I've said this before. I always keep this picture of Daphne on my desk because, you know, I had the privilege of being a good friend of hers, you know, and it's tragic that she is no longer here. But when she gave me this over 20 years ago. She's given me other things over 20 years ago. I showed some of it after she passed. Could have put it on eBay and got hundreds for it. Never ever crossed my mind to ever sell it. And I have things that aren't even made out to me because I know someone out there will say, well, DT, it's not worth so much because she wrote it out to you. I have other things that she gave me. My point is this. When those wrestlers are catching flights, having their personal time, maybe a little tired, maybe they're trying to have a little bit of, you know, just everyday whatever, and somebody comes up to them with 5 different items, and they know that that person is not asking for it because 10 years from now, they're going to be like, oh, I remember the time I met Liv Morgan at Newark Airport. She signed this for me. I still got it. She's one of my favorites. No, a lot of these wrestlers realize that this shit's going to pop up on eBay. It's going to pop up on eBay. When you see some of the photos that I give away, you know, I've always said this before, Liv Morgan and Mandy Rose are two of the most generous people when it comes to signed photos. And the photos that I get are not WWE licensed photos. This is them doing a model shot, doing a shot in the back. Shotzi Blackheart is also very generous. A lot of people don't know that. They take their own posed photos and they sign it and they give them away. They get fan mail. They mail it, you know, through the mail. Sometimes I ask, you know, and I'll get a couple of things and we give them away here. But, you know, some people take advantage of it and some people out there are just up to nefarious things. And when they don't get their way, they will, you know, hit record. And even if they stream the entire incident, if there's a little portion of it which makes someone look in a bad light, they'll put it up there because they expect to get something in return for free. They expect, you know, that, hey, you didn't want to sign my thing? Good. I'm going to fucking post this and make you look like shit. That's what people do. Why am I getting text messages during the show? It's tax season. Oh, we had to do with taxes. I can't show you it. But, yeah, I do taxes on the side. mostly easy forms, 1040s. You know, I don't like to do really complicated shit, but it's a second business, you know, third business. But my point is, you know, there are people out there that are just looking to make money. And WWE knows it. These wrestlers know it. The problem is when you get somebody like Liv and Ray and Kofi and others, they don't want to turn anybody down. And sometimes you get put in a little bit of a situation where, you know, you got to know when to say when. And when you do, you don't expect the other person to be like, you know, fuck you. You know, because that's not their mindset. So this is nothing new, Johnny. This has been going on for decades. It's just now people will, you know, try to compromise someone and record a portion of it, or they'll edit a lot of, you know, what led up to it out, just making the person look awful. And, you know, a lot of wrestlers, they're just caught in a bad situation, especially when wrestlers are their downtime. They're with their husbands, their wives, their kids, out to dinner, out at Disney, out there, out here. You know, sometimes, even though it's a memory you could take forever, you know, one of the stories that I've told over the years is meeting Big Pussy from The Sopranos, meeting Big Pussy. And we were in a restaurant, and I didn't even know that my father knew him. And you know, I wanted to, you know, take a picture of him, say hello. And, you know, my father was the one that said, not right now, not right now. Next thing you know, about a half hour later, he comes over to our table. Hey, Nick, what's going on? And, like, you just, even though it's a moment that, oh, I'll tell people 5, 10, 20 years from now the night. Sometimes if someone is just in a situation, Billy Joel, true story. My parents went out to dinner in Long Island probably 25 years ago, and they went to this restaurant in Suffolk County. Billy Joel was there having dinner, and he didn't want to be bothered. And my father would have loved to take a picture with him, and they didn't want to be bothered, so everybody just let him be. You know, a lot of you know the story about Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp, when he filmed the movie Donnie Brasco, I think it was, he went to Butterfinger's restaurant in Queens, Ridgewood, Queens. That's where I had my engagement party in 1998 because I had gotten married in 99. I got it annulled, so it doesn't count. But when he first went there, you know, like my father calls me up, get dressed. Tell your mother, get dressed. We're going to go out to dinner. And we went to Butterfingers, and we go into the restaurant, and he's sitting there. And we all thought that we were going to meet him, and this and that. He turned out to be the biggest dick that night. But, you know, he didn't want to be bothered. You just got to sometimes leave people be. And just because they don't want to be bothered doesn't mean that they were being a dick. Trust me, Johnny Depp was being a massive dick that night. Massive dick. So, all right. So hopefully that answered it, Johnny. E-Dub Harris, did I ever have any bad interactions with a fan when I was doing wrestling stuff? No, I honestly, let me tell you something. You know, I loved working shows with kids because, you know, my stuff wasn't good. But if it was entertaining enough, you know, like the kids got a kick out of it. Like when I hit Vinny DeGuido over the head with a loaf of Italian bread, it made such a loud sound. And I had never smashed a loaf of Italian bread over somebody's head before. But when I did it, like every single, and I screenshotted it before here. And you look at every kid at ringside and they're all smiling, laughing, having a good time. And that's when I was like, you know, this is awesome. I never really had the only, I mean, I got, you know, bad chance. If any of you saw that 2-3 minutes that I was in the ring with Low Life Louie, you know, it was pretty loud. You can't wrestle. You know, I got it from fans. I mean, they would be verbally abusive, but you want to know something? No bullshit. After the shows were over, everybody was cool. Everybody was mad cool. The only time I ever had a bad interaction with someone, and I've told this story before, my apologies for anybody that knows it. It was the Chris Candido Memorial Show, the second Chris Candido Memorial Show that we did at Sport Time in Long Island We had like 1,400 people there. And at the time, I wasn't Don Tony yet. I think I was Tony Cannoli still. And what I would do is I would bring trays of cannolis to the shows. And everybody at ringside would eat cannolis. And then after they would eat the cannolis, you'd realize, oh, shit, I got an empty tray. Let me give it to my guy that I'm managing, and they'll use it as a weapon and win with it. So the cannolis, I would, you know, we would use them as weapons. But in the end, I would get my ass kicked more than once. And one time I brought cannolis for everyone, and then I've showed the video before where Low Life Louie cracked a chair over my head, broke my watch. I'm laying on the floor, and everybody's laughing at me. The next show, which was the Chris Candido Memorial Show, I showed up and gave everybody cannolis. And I had two shopping bags. Didn't reveal what's inside the shopping bags. And after everybody ate cannolis, did what we did, I got hit again. Everybody's laughing at me. I go in the middle of the ring, and I started yelling at everybody at ringside. I said, every show I bring you food. I bring you cannolis. You're always happy. You always shake my hand. Thank you, Don. You know, thank you, Anthony. I don't think it was Don Tony yet. But, you know, you're always nice to me, and now you're laughing at me. Well, now I get the last laugh. I took the shopping bag, and I dumped in the ring about 15 empty boxes of X-Lax. And as I'm leaving the ring, I'm getting pelted with hot dogs. I'm getting pelted with garbage. And it felt incredible. I'm like, oh, this is fucking awesome. So we go to intermission. And intermission, we're walking around, and this big bodybuilder guy with his kid is there. And his kid is probably maybe like 6 years old. Fat. A lot fatter than me. And the guy comes up to me. He's like, listen, Anthony, can I ask you a question? I'm like, sure. And he says, I know, you know, this is for fun and everything, but I need to know. Did you really put X-Lax in your cannolis? Because my son ate one. And me, I always thought of Bobby the Brain Heenan. Whenever I did something at ringside, Bobby Heenan, when he did his shoot interview, Bobby the Brain Heenan used to always say when he was a manager, and he gave this advice to anybody who wanted to be a manager, even if you performed in front of 20 people, even if you were never going to make it in wrestling, he said, do what you would do in real life. Like he would, if somebody was chasing him, he would do everything he possibly could. Not like these bad horror films. Remember when Kane used to corner like a WWE diva in the ring and they always seemed to like fall on their ass and then they back into the corner. Look like a bad horror film. Bobby Heenan used to always say, no matter what, while the show is on, you be your character 24/7. And when that guy asked me about the cannolis, I immediately thought of Bobby Heenan. Bobby Heenan saying, always be your character. As long as the show is on, always be that character. So I looked at the guy and I said, listen, I said, whether I tell you that I did or I didn't, look at your son right now. Your son has a soda in one hand. He's got a piece of candy in the other hand. You're telling me he ate cannolis. I said, Lord knows how much your son ate tonight. Even if I tell you I didn't, what happens if he has a stomach ache tonight from everything that he's eating and drinking right now? This guy turned red, and I realized I'm going to get punched in the fucking mouth. And as soon as the guy got, I saw him getting red, like, are you fucking kidding me? I looked at him, I'm like, I'm just kidding. I was like, of course I didn't put it in color. You think I would do that to anybody? Come on. And the guy's like, oh, I knew. I just, you know, I had to be careful, you know, my son. And I'm like, never do that to anybody. And when I walked away, I was like, I thought to myself, like, I love Bobby the Brain Heenan, but I am not going to get punched in the fucking mouth and risk losing a tooth and getting my ass kicked. No, no, no. So I told the guy, I didn't put anything in the cannolis, but, you know, it was awesome, man. That was the only time that I really had a bad interaction. We don't count Slash because I don't consider Slash a fan, but when I will tell you, when I broke Slash's glasses and walked outside and then threw money in the water trying to, you know, spoof like The Godfather meets New Jack City, when all those people walked outside and followed me to see what I was going to do to this guy, I felt like $1 billion. That was incredible. I mean, I wish that would have been videoed, but it wasn't. So, all right. Yeah, time is flying, man. We're almost halfway done with the show already. But, hey, we have good conversations, good topics. That's what matters, man. We have some nice, fun convo. Easy listening. That's what I always want Sunday to be, easy listening. Matt with the two spot. Thank you, Matt. Why this week in AEW is Omega fighting a nobody? Look, I'll say this. I kind of mentioned it towards the end of yesterday's show. El Hijo del Vikingo had 7,000 followers on Twitter up until this weekend. No joke, soon as that report came out, I looked for his Twitter. And I don't know, you all, I'm sure you all noticed that use Twitter. When you click on somebody's bio, it'll show you who that you follow also follow the person. I think three people. Of the thousands that I follow, only three people are following him. My point is that he's not a household name. He's not. I did come up here Saturday and remind everyone that this match was supposed to happen a couple of years ago. And for the most part, it didn't faze anyone until Tony Khan said it late last night. Now everybody's like, yeah, it was supposed to. He wasn't on anybody's radar. So, yes, he doesn't have a major following in the United States. I should rephrase that because this applies to anybody across the world. El Hijo del Vikingo did not have a huge following outside of Mexico. Okay? He will show everyone this is going to be Jeff Hardy on steroids upon steroids upon steroids Wednesday. This is going to be a spot fest like you have never seen before, and a lot of it will be him. Kenny Omega will definitely be doing stuff too, but a lot of it will be him. Let's just hope the motherfucker doesn't get injured. But I will say this. The people online doing the Excalibur. What do you mean you don't know who he is? What do you mean? Do you have any idea? If you don't know, oh my God, look at this, look at this, and showing all these highlights. Those are the people that make me not want to watch AEW. The guy had 7,000 followers. He was on nobody's radar outside of Mexico. The guy is fucking incredible. He is incredible. Trust me. The guy, it's going to be an amazing match on Wednesday. Trust me. I think Dave Meltzer already has saved 5 stars. He just hasn't hit send yet because the match hasn't happened yet. But these people online trying to school you and school me why we should know, 3/4 of them didn't fucking have him on their radar either. And I hate the fucking people that have to put certain words in their tweet in capital letters. Fuck you. Fuck you. You want to show me a little bit about him, that's fine. You don't know anything. You will, with capital letters, fuck you. Tony ain't going to lick your clitoris or suck your penis. Neither is El Hijo del Vikingo. You're going to still have El Hijo del Handjob. That's what you're going to get out of it. Those people, they're all Excaliburs. And I love Excalibur as a commentator. But the biggest fault in AEW is when somebody comes in from New Japan that 99% of us don't give a flying fuck about. And Excalibur's like, oh, we know who that is. Da, blah, 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 from the internet. Oh, he's the current blah, champion. Oh, fuck you. I hate that. I fucking hate that. Don't talk down on me. I've been watching wrestling since 1979. You want to show me someone that should be on my radar? You show it to me before AEW books a match. You show me, oh, DT, they should bring this person in. Why do you think they haven't brought this person in? Did you see this guy from Texas? That's different. But now because it's announced, you look at what's being written. And look at how many douchebags out there with the capital letters trying to, like, stand out and fuck you. Seriously. I know I have toned down quite a bit over the years. I get older, I get mellower. But shit like that angers me. Angers me to the point that I actually may take Wednesday off. I know it sounds ridiculous for some of you out there, but the reason why is like, you know what? Fuck you. Don't ruin my excitement. It's going to be an incredible match. It might be a dream match for this many people, but don't fucking talk down on me and say, you don't know who he is. How could you not say, fuck you. Fuck you. I'd rather watch the Garcia twins on Wednesday. I'd rather watch repeats of Tamron Hall. I'd rather pull my teeth with a wrench. That pisses me off. Don't fucking talk down to people and try to school them why you should be excited for this. Why, if you don't watch this and you don't appreciate what he does, you're not a wrestling fan. Fuck you. Fuck you. Seriously, fuck you. That's my honest opinion. That's my honest opinion. Matt, I hope I answered it. Tuxedo says, it's one of the reasons why I can't follow AEW. Well, you know, look, don't take it out on the wrestlers. Omega, Vicenio, anybody else that wrestles for AEW, they're not the ones doing it to you. If you like the wrestlers, if you like the action, watch it. I'm not telling anybody not to watch it. Ain't no robot either. You know, I'm not telling anybody, watch it. The only reason why I say that I might even take Wednesday off is because this is a lot of work. It's more than you realize. It's not just preparing the shows, but it's watching every little thing, making sure you don't miss this and hit this and analyze this and try to predict this and why this happens and what will happen next and this and that. And all the blah. When we talked about Forbidden Door and realized, oh, that's why they're showing Bullet Club for Juice Robinson after all this fucking time. Have you seen anybody out there talk about that yet? No. But in about a week or two, they will. And then everybody will be like, oh, you didn't realize? Well, you know what? Don Tony said it 3 weeks ago. And I'm not saying it to try to pat myself on the back. Like, you know what? I could rest Wednesday. I could go on Amazon. I could go watch YouTube videos. I could fucking do a lot of things and not burn out my night and lose a ton of sleep because I have a whole boatload of people like talking down like why you should and must and props on you if you don't know something. I'm like, you know what? Good. I'll just take Wednesday off. I'll go watch reruns of The Honeymooners. Seriously, that's how I feel right now. So, I mean, I'm not saying I'm not going to do the show Wednesday. I'm just saying, like, things like that. I'm like, you know what? There's a lot of other things that I could do on that Wednesday. You know, I just, you know, it's the way I feel. Okay. Michael Gonzalez, no update on AJ Styles yet. He is doing well. He's definitely recovering. You know, the thing is he's out for WrestleMania. He's done. He's not wrestling at WrestleMania. The Good Brothers have obviously suffered as a result. On the house show circuit, Cody has actually interacted with the Good Brothers a little bit. You know, they have a little history together. I think AJ Styles will be good to go by late spring, early summer. I think early summer might be a little bit more accurate. And you know what? It's probably the best right now because really what do we think he would have been doing at Mania? Seriously. I mean, would he have been in this fatal four-way tag match? You know, like, there was nothing really lined up for AJ. So, put it this way, before he got injured, did you hear any buzz about any matches at all? Nothing. So, in a way, it sucks. But you know what? After Mania, when we start getting towards the late spring, early summer, then we could start talking about AJ Styles again. And let me tell you something. If Kenny Omega ends up coming into WWE next year, especially Kenny Omega, you got an easy storyline right there. Cody Rhodes, you know Cody and AJ are going to have some interaction, whether it's happened before or not. Why not happen again? So there's definitely enough out there to do. So we'll wait. We'll wait. Yeah, you got to be more concerned, I think, for Kofi Kingston right now because he just had the ankle surgery, and I brought it up yesterday. I'm hearing that he tore tendons or something, and, you know, something like that. You know, you can recover, obviously, but Kofi, with so much of his, you know, in his work being, you know, off his feet, you know, it's going to take a while for him to recover. So, all right. So we are about close to two-thirds done. So like I said, oh, yeah, JS, we talked about those cat GoPro videos from a few weeks ago. Some of you have emailed me like, DT, they're pretty fucking wild. Yeah, they are. I mean, you look hard enough on YouTube, you'll find some wild shit that you say to yourself, why didn't I think of that? There are so many channels out there that I look at myself, I'm like, why didn't I think of this? Like, seriously. But those videos are pretty wild, man. Some of them get a little bit out there, especially when they encounter mice. That's all I'm going to say. All right. Germ with a question. Do I think that if Roman wins and they do the rematch at SummerSlam, will fans be sick of Cody? How could they keep him hot? I personally don't see them going all the way to SummerSlam. Listen, they're doing King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring in Saudi Arabia, and they haven't announced a stipulation yet, but we've talked about it before. The winner of King of the Ring gets a title shot. I don't want Cody to lose at WrestleMania and then get a title shot because he wins King of the Ring or something like that. I always felt that, okay, I could see the scenario where Cody wins the championship at WrestleMania, Gunther wins King of the Ring, Gunther challenges Cody at SummerSlam. That's what I've always felt would be, you know, and it's so hard to predict this because we don't know what's going to happen next. Hell, we don't know when Gunther is going to drop that championship. He could drop it at Mania. Who knows? But the point is that, you know, when I had Kevin on last week, first time in years, you know, we had an interesting debate. He is convinced that WWE is going to keep the belt on Roman until he reaches 1,000 days. Me, I feel 1,000 days doesn't really mean much in this day and age. Roman's reign has been so historic for this current generation that adding the 1,000-day number to it, I don't think is going to make much of a difference. So, but, and speaking of, you know, I got to say this. I'm going to mention it tomorrow mostly, but I got to say this. Props to everyone out there who did check out that episode. You know, we really had a fun time doing it. You know, we haven't done a show for a couple of years for obvious reasons. But I will tell you this. Doing a show with Kevin again, especially that we go back to like 2004 or 2005 doing stuff. But doing a show with him on Tuesday was very eye-opening, and I'll tell you why. I've had a few people, you know, try to make this claim that, oh, these guys realize that they're not good unless they're together. I'm like, it's one fucking reunion show. People are overanalyzing everything. If we decide to do a show again once a month, once a week, once a day, it'll happen. But I will say this. It was very eye-opening since Thursday. And today's only the third day. You know, Patreons had it since Tuesday. YouTube channel members had it since Tuesday. But it was released Thursday night. It's not even 3 days since it's been posted publicly. But I will say this. It was very eye-opening to take note. As far as I know, not one podcaster, not one, especially the ones that used to say, oh, we were the inspiration that made them do a show, or we fucking love you guys, and this is and that. Why don't you guys? Not one person gave us, and I don't need the plugs or the shout outs, but not one person said, hey, guys, if you want to really check out something, you know, that's pretty cool, who would have ever thought it? DT and KC, they did a show again this past Tuesday, it was released. You maybe want to go check it out. Not one place, which was very eye-opening. And then I'll tell you more. I'm not going to say the social media pages, not going to say Reddit or Facebook or anything else, but I watched a lot of people who claim that Twitter is toxic, who claim that the AEW hard left is whack, WWE hard right is whack. You know, like people are just haters and just shit. And they could not wait to go out of their way to say, I ain't fucking listening to that. I ain't fucking listening to Don Tony. I ain't fucking listening to Kevin Castle. I fucking stopped listening to them 10 years ago. The fucking, they couldn't wait to try to publicly make sure that if I saw it or if Kevin saw it, that this is their way of saying, hey, fuck you. I hope you feel like shit. You know how many people do podcasts that if I don't like them, I don't watch them? I just don't pay attention to them. They couldn't wait to run to say. And it really was eye-opening that all we did was have a feel-good, friendly conversation, talking about Mania. I even said on the shows that, you know, how I've changed and I've kind of apologized for some of my past behavior and the way I acted in a lot of ways. These people could care less. They just wanted a reason to bring people down. And between that and every podcaster not even mentioning it. I mean, yeah, I'm not saying if accolades, but Kevin and I combined, we have 44 years doing this stuff. 44. I've been doing it since 97. He's been doing it since 05. And not one place out there even posted it. Hey, guys, you know, I had more wrestlers. Don't joke. I have more wrestlers DM me in the last 48 hours than I had regular people. And more wrestlers, some on TV, some not. Like, oh, shit, brought back memories, this and that. When are you going to do another one? And I was like, wow, it's pretty wild to see. I mean, you know, like some, I had a conversation with an indie wrestler today about it. And he's like, you know, what do you think? You going to do another one? And I said, no, maybe. And I was like, I was a little surprised, you know, at like how much hate that came with it and how few people even mentioned it. And this person said, he brought a point. He says, they probably don't like the fact that you guys are on good terms again, that if you do bring the show back, that you might hurt a lot of other people's stats. You know, so I was like, you know, that's pretty interesting. You know, like, because consistently, I mean, our numbers are good. I'm not complaining about it, but some people out there might think if the band is back together doing more shows, even if it's once every month or every 2 weeks, that that might actually impede, especially that, you know, if it's more old school. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty fucked up, you know, just for one night. So that was pretty glaring. It's pretty glaring the last 3 days what I have watched. And honestly, it's not going to sway me. I will tell you this, and we'll move on. If we do another one, it's not going to be for the haters. That's the difference between Don Tony now and even 5 years ago. 5 years ago, I would have already DM'd Kev and said, Kev, you see what's going on this Reddit page and this Facebook and this Facebook and this? Let's do another one this week. Piss them the fuck off even more. Let them lose their shit. That would have been me 5 years ago. Now it's like pretty interesting to see that response, but doesn't change what I do. It just goes to show you that some of the people out there who call out the whack jobs amongst AEW fans and all that, they're just as bad. The people, oh, you know, Hanakamura, suicide, depression, forcing Riho off Twitter. And these motherfuckers are 10 times worse. You know why they're 10 times worse? Because they don't do it the sneaky way. Or they will put out the good stuff. And then, you know, when you're not looking, they do just as bad, man. Trust me, I have not become mentally depressed because of that feedback. It just really opened my eyes like, wow. It, you know, like people really do not want us to be cool. Like, okay, whatever. But for everyone who enjoyed it, very cool. Very cool. Guardian of Chaos. What's up, Chaos? Thank you and Austin for always holding the ship here. My top three territories. He liked Florida, Mid-South, WWWF from the Northeast. Georgia and Texas were solid. For me, as far as territories, I loved Florida Championship Wrestling. I loved Memphis. I'm trying to think of one that maybe, you know what? I liked Mid-South. I like Mid-South. You know why? Because I'm older. I mean, you know, you're not that far from my age either. But, you know, you go back to those times, you know, like it blows me away to see people posting on social media clips of wrestling that a lot of people have never seen from 20 years ago or even 15 years ago. It's like, how do you not? And then I realize, wow, you know, we're that old. So I like those days. Listen, Memphis was way ahead of its time. What I loved was just the thought process in these storylines. In fact, today I was listening to Cornette a little bit, and he was talking about, you know, like Undertaker saying that more wrestlers should be protect their character, and I'm 1,000% in agreement with that. And he said, you know, imagine if Jerry Lawler and Andy Kaufman were working out in the ring at 5 o'clock in the afternoon the night of the show. Even if a couple of janitors or a couple of people setting up the chairs saw it, would we still have talked about it to this day? You know, and it's true. You know, they were so, I don't even want to call it respectful, but they were so detailed that they were going to make sure that any little fucking thing, I mean, Vern Gagne did it. Unfortunately, you know, he fucked a lot of his wrestlers and creative as a result, but he protected the business. But Mid-South, Memphis, Florida Championship Wrestling would be a couple that I really enjoyed. Florida Championship Wrestling, I always felt, was a little bit ahead of its time, too. You know, I don't call ECW a territory, but, you know, when we got to the 90s, unfortunately, a lot of those territories were gone. So you didn't have as many options. For me, my idea with territories was ECW, WCW, WWE, and the Indies, or WWF and the Indies. That's pretty much what my options were. So, yeah, Memphis was great. World-class, spectacular, man. World-class championship wrestling. You know, you look back and you see, you know, how many wrestlers who got their starts in some of these areas and then made it big elsewhere. I mean, sure, you got to start somewhere. But, those were good times, man. Those were good times. John Cena 2011 said he'd like to see Kevin and I do more stuff. Look, if his schedule is not super, super crazy, you know, I'm sure we'll do one again very, very soon. Maybe before Mania. We'll see. We just don't want people to start expecting it all the time because that's where you run into problems, you know. And that's one of the reasons why we didn't do it sooner. But again, if we do it, it's not to spite anybody. It's not to anger anyone. The whole idea of doing it Tuesday was to have fun. It wasn't designed to anger anybody. And you could feel the anger on people's keyboards. I was like, wow. And that was just like, you're supposed to be this cool guy. I mean, no joke. I had a few people that I was still friends with on my personal Facebook page from 15 years ago. And they're on my Facebook page and congratulating me on my wedding and this and that. And I'm looking at two guys on Reddit. And they're like, really, really saying some awful stuff. I'm like, are you kidding me? And, you know, I'm sure they got the message when they're off my personal Facebook. So, all right, Kevin with a comment. Milwaukee, that is, not Castle. It's a shame Raven wasn't doing his gimmick just a few years earlier. During the time of Johnny Flamingo, that could have used a nudge from a character. You know, I don't know something. You know why I disagree? Because when Raven came in, this was right around Nirvana. His character could not have come in at a better time. If Raven would have came in with that character in 92, I don't think it would have been as good. It came in 1995, where Nirvana was still a major buzz. You know, unfortunately, we know what happened to Kurt Cobain, but Nirvana, when I put it this way, when you do word association, if you said to me Raven, I would probably say Nirvana. Or I would say Simone. You know, I mean, he came in at the perfect time. Listen, when he came in, he got some of the treatment like Bray Wyatt. Remember when Bray Wyatt first debuted and fans at ringside were going, Husky, Harris? I got so angry that night. I'm like, what are you proving? That you know the guy's history? Okay, what? What, you want a hand job? You want a like? Oh, good for you. Oh, good for you. You know, but they did that to Raven also. They would call him Johnny Polo, Johnny Polo. Raven coming in 95 was spectacular. It was spectacular. Loved it. Loved it. I don't think it could have come in at a worse time. It was perfect. If it would have came in a little bit later, 96, 97, I probably still would have done just fine. But you understand, this is before ECW got on the radar. You know, ECW 1995, when it led to November to Remember, and that was Raven and Cactus Jack versus Terry Funk and Tommy Dreamer. You know, this was before people really started taking notice of ECW. I always felt November to Remember 1995 is what got people's attention with ECW. And Raven being at that time, perfect. Loved it. Spectacular. All right, Bash 8 is asking me, did I like the Bronx Tale movie? No, never a fan of it. I don't know why, you know, just like even The Irishman that came out recently, like everybody was telling me, oh, DT, you got to watch it, you'll love it, you'll love it. I gave it half the movie, and halfway through I was like, nah, just couldn't feel it, man. Just some movies click with me, some of them don't. There was a movie I'll never forget, I think it was called like The Pride of Bensonhurst or something like that. Wasn't Cabby from Escaping from New York, wasn't he in it? He played a gangster guy. I remember, I brought this up once before. I remember going to the movies with a girl. I walked out 15 minutes. I'm like, I can't. My eyes are going to start bleeding. I can't. Just some movies, I just, like within 15, 20 minutes, if you don't reel me in, I'm out. And it happens a lot. I'm out. Devin M., do I think WWE will do Cody like Keith Lee back in the NXT with the two titles? Win both, then the Roy have to put the Universal title up for grabs, kind of wanting giving others a shot? No. Yes and no. I already hear it a mile away. Cody with both championships. Cody, tremendous dedication to his father, dedicated to his father. I know if my father had these two titles, he would be a fighting champion. Cody Rhodes is going to be a fighting champion. Cody Rhodes is like, I got two titles. I got two matches. Remember this conversation. Cody will be a fighting champion and will defend both championships, two matches. I mean, look back and listen, if you want to bring up selfish Cody for a minute. Cody did things in AEW that people felt that he did it just to get attention on himself. Remember the fire? Like, people like, what the fuck did you even do that for? Like, for what? You know, and then showing off all the melted skin or the plastic from the table. Like, I did Cody just to feed the ego. I'm two champions. Oop, I guess I'm having two matches. That is what'll happen. The idea that he would just give up a title, that's insane. I think anybody would call him a moron. Anybody. If I fucking earned something, and I have two, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, you know, I only need one. You know, that kind of cheapens the title also, even though it's not intended that way. So I said, nah, I don't see that. All right, let's see. Xander is in the house. Imagine this. Conan and Dux Ray gives him the Hall of Fame ring. Dom intercepts it, takes it and melts it into a chain, getting Dom nuclear heat. The only problem with that is I don't think they're going to have like a booth in the back where he could like melt it. Like, you don't really melt it. You don't video melting it. I mean, put it this way. This would not have the same effect of when Mr. Perfect destroyed Hulk Hogan's belt. Or who destroyed Backlund's belt? Was it Sergeant Slaughter? Or Billy Graham? No, wasn't it Superstar Billy Graham? Who destroyed Backlund's belt when he was doing the step challenge? Did they destroy his belt? I can't remember if it was Slaughter. Or no, it's got to be Slaughter. It's got to be Slaughter, because if it was superstar Billy Graham, I would have always talked about that. My point is him getting the ring and melting it down to something else, I don't think it would have that kind of effect. It was superstar Billy Graham. All right. So I remember it was one or the other. So, okay, I remember it now. Billy Graham destroyed the title, bashing it on the floor, and Sergeant Slaughter whipped Bob Backlund with his whip, you know, whatever that thing is called that, from the military. You know, he whipped Bob Backlund. I remember he had the welts on his back. That was a cool moment, man. That was a cool moment when Sergeant Slaughter whipped Bob Backlund. He did. If any of you have never seen the episode, Bob Backlund was on WWF TV. And at the beginning of the night, he's trying to break a record, I guess, or something. Where he's going to do the Hartford Step Challenge or something. And he's like walking up three steps. You do it in physical therapy. If you've ever injured a leg or broke a leg, they have you like walk like up like two, three steps and walk back down two, three steps. And they tell you do it like 10 times. Backlund did it for like 40 minutes. And then Sergeant Slaughter comes out and just interrupts it and whips the shit out of him. It's good. It's good TV if you want to go check it out. Twix is asking, why is Sting not inducting Muta in the Hall of Fame? Because Sting is part of AEW still. That's why. Ric Flair will probably end up being the one to put him in the Hall of Fame. Makes the most sense. You know, remember, Muta hasn't been in WWE ever. So it really doesn't matter like who inducts him, but it's got to be somebody who has a history with Muta. And WWE feels it's safe to have Ric Flair be the one to do it. So Ric Flair, I think, is the one to do it. Him just announcing him on the bump, they didn't even need to do that. But I think Ric Flair is going to be the one to do it. All right, theme parks with Johnny. By the way, we're going to wrap this up in about 7 minutes. So start winding down those questions. Theme parks with Johnny with a 10 spot. Thank you, Johnny. I was talking about Raven, one of the most awesome, underrated moments in wrestling when Raven got thrown back to ringside by the fans versus Goldberg. That was a special day for him, and that comedy made his day. Listen, you look back at Goldberg, 1998. You look back at his undefeated streak. That was abruptly halted for Kevin Nash. Goldberg did not have many matches that you remember. I think the match everybody thinks about, other than losing with the streak, with the stun gun, whatever that shit thing was, you think of his match with Steven Regal because of what we learned afterwards. You think of his match with Hogan. But one of the matches that I always think about is the match he had with Raven. That match was a lot better. Didn't he win the United States Championship against Raven that night? I could swear that there was a belt on the line. But his match with Raven, excellent. And props to Raven, man, because Raven knew, you know, how to get heat on himself. Listen, when Raven first came into WCW as Raven, and they were doing the Rich, like, pool stuff. Wasn't it Diamond Dallas Page involved with that? I hated that. When they were doing, like, those skits, I don't know. It just wasn't clicking for me. But his match with Raven, yeah, it was for the U.S. title. I remember a championship being on the line. That is one of the matches I always go to. If somebody says to me, DT, give me 5 matches from Goldberg's undefeated streak to watch, him versus Raven would definitely be one of them. Absolutely. Phenomenal. Give Goldberg credit, give Raven even more, because Raven, you know, did what he was supposed to do and, you know, helped Goldberg big that day. You know, listen, I know Raven, you know, he's had some issues over the years, but believe me when I tell you, I had the privilege to, you know, work some shows with him and hang out with him once in a while after shows. I always thought he was very, very intelligent, very, very, you know, smart. Same thing technically, but the guy, his mind, like, I mean, it makes you wonder with the concussion lawsuits and everything else, would he would have had a bigger footprint behind the scenes in wrestling the last 15 years if it didn't go down the path that it did legally for him? That's a guy, when everybody's like, oh, Jake the Snake Roberts, his mind for wrestling and this and that. Raven, I think, is up there too. I think Raven should have been more involved in the creative side of things, to be honest with you. So, Raven, a lot of good memories. A lot of good memories. Let's see. All right. Will Sid go into the Hall of Fame? Eventually. Eventually. Could it happen this year? Sure. I think WrestleMania 40 in Philly is better. And not just because of that brief ECW run, even though they made him look tremendous. Sid will be in the Hall of Fame. Sid will go in the Hall of Fame. I think right now it's not a major priority. And I know that kind of sucks, but, you know, this we haven't heard about him being in poor health. You know, hopefully he could still play softball. But, yeah, Sid will go in. Sid will definitely go in. Do I think Diamond Dallas Page and Goldberg should add a rematch at Starrcade 98? DDP winning his first world title with the Diamond Cutter? No, not against Goldberg. No. Goldberg at that time, not only was it a phenomenon, you know, the social media footprint wasn't really there, but the internet was. But there was so much of an enigma with Goldberg that you don't ruin that in any way. The way they did it with Kevin Nash was awful. But at that time, you do not for DDP, with all due respect. DDP's run was great. He started a latter age in his life and ran with it and became one of the most over wrestlers in WCW. But you don't sacrifice Goldberg to benefit DDP. Not at that time. So, not at that time. Yeah, you proved my point by saying his Diamond Cutter was tremendously super over. He didn't need to get a championship for the Diamond Cutter. He could just show up every week and just hit somebody with a Diamond Cutter out of nowhere. You know, look at Randy Orton with all of his RK out of nowheres. You know, most of them were in titles. You know, he just said, hit it, everybody pops, job done. All right. Got three more minutes. Let's see what questions we could get in there. I want to thank everybody for joining me. Don't forget, Monday night, which will be the 20th of March, we will do a post-Raw recap review. This is not a screenshot, an actual screenshot from WWE TV. That is just me, a little bit insomnia on Friday night, decided to like just Photoshop. But Roman Reigns was definitely paying attention at Cody's smile that he helped get Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn back together. Roman Reigns will take it out on Cody Rhodes tomorrow. This will no longer be handshakes and respect. Roman Reigns is going to be fucking angry. We'll see what happens. Okay. I think we are done. Little Debbie Downer to close it, but we could. Tristan is asking, do I remember where I was when Eddie Guerrero died? Sure. Sure, it was in my house. And I still have the tribute that we did on the hotline. In fact, I played it once on a Thursday. You know, when we reported Eddie Guerrero's passing, I opened up, I paid extra money for my wrestling hotline to be able to accept like 3-minute messages instead of like 30 seconds. And I allowed everyone to leave a message to pay tribute to Eddie Guerrero. And I recorded it all and I played it. I still have that audio to this day from my wrestling hotline. And the interesting thing about it is if you've heard it, you know already what I'm going to say. There was one caller that left a message also. His name was Kevin from Sheepshead Bay. And that was my former co-host. He was a caller to my hotline at the time. And this was before he ever joined up and was doing hotlines with me and then later podcast. But yeah, I remember it. And I just couldn't believe it. Part of me, it sunk in, and I will always remember towards the end of his WCW reign, and I, sorry if this offends anyone, but I'm just being honest. If anybody remembers his final reign in WCW. This is before he left, obviously, before the Radicals formed. When he turned heel and he was coming out with that slow, like, LWO music, I remember vividly him coming out for a pay-per-view match, and he had the red and black tights on. He was totally, you know, oiled up. And when I looked at his physique coming down the ring, I was like, holy fucking shit. Like, he's jacked. Like, I knew that he was, you know, getting bulked up. But when people bring up his use of the S, you know, if you know what I'm talking about, that moment still sticks out to me to this day. And if anybody wants, tweet me at Don Tony D. I will pull up the picture and I will post it on my Twitter if you want to see it. That picture of him walking down the ring, oiled, jacked, he just looked, it was too much too quickly. And I, after it sank in for about an hour of what happened, that's what I started thinking about. I was like, what the fuck did he do to his heart? What did he do to his heart? You know, just that's what we, not, I will tell you this. I will tell you this. Even when you listen to the tributes, tell you this. One thing that nobody, not me, nobody that called, no other hotline host at the time, nobody thought he OD'd. That's the most amazing thing about it. Nobody thought he OD'd. Nobody thought it was suicide. Everybody thought it was a heart attack. Everybody. That, you look back on it, that probably fascinates me just as much. No one at the time, you think he overdosed? You think he might have taken? I don't remember any. Don't remember any. That's pretty wild when you think about that. So, all right, I'm going to jet out of here. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. This was a lot of fun. You know, we got into some pretty damn solid topics tonight. And I am looking forward to Raw tomorrow. This is the next to last Raw before WrestleMania. So let's enjoy it, appreciate it, because major shit is going to go down tomorrow to basically seal the deal for some of these feuds going on. Might get an announced Hall of Fame inductee. If not tomorrow, they may do the Wednesday thing again since it got, you know, a lot of attention online. But, you know, we will see more added soon. And I'll be here live at 11:05 p.m. after Raw. And as far as Wednesday, you know, I'll probably do the show. I mean, honestly, I don't see why I wouldn't. But, you know, I have been thinking about taking a Wednesday off once in a while. Yeah, you'd be surprised, you know, how much it actually does help taking a day off during the week for a little bit of rest. Hey, maybe I'll end up doing a Q&A Wednesday night instead. We'll see. But you just keep following me on YouTube, because that's where the live streams go down, and you'll see if, you know, there's an episode scheduled. And but I'll definitely be here Monday after Raw. So much love, everyone. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. If you know anyone else out there that might actually enjoy the channel, let them know about it. Keep spreading the word. And if you haven't checked out the episode I did with Kevin earlier this week, even if you weren't a fan of the shows back in the day, if you want to, you know, hear some great WrestleMania 39 discussion and some debates as well. And we talked about John Cena and his comments about Vince. We talked about a lot of things. The synopsis does not do its justice, but check out that episode. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at some of the intense debate and discussion that goes down. So be well, everybody. Much love. Thank you as always for the support. Have a good night, good day, and I'll see you all again soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now? Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.